Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are ASAP Science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about erections, aka boners. We'll be talking about the science of how they work, what you can do to keep them healthy, and also what happens when there is dysfunction down there. After, we'll be getting into our What Did You Learn This Week's. One is on green cities and the other is on burnout.
Burnout, bruh. Burnouts and boners, y'all.
I know. It's alliteration.
So this is definitely like an adult's one. Mom, dad, family members, turn it off.
True, but educational. I don't know if this one will get too dirty, but like obviously if you have young ears listening, you know, this one will be about
boners. They happen to everyone.
Exactly. It's completely natural.
My new favorite word for a dick is the hog.
Why is it new favorite?
I don't know. It's just the one that I like to use. Like, he got his hog out. That's for someone who gets naked.
I don't like that word.
Oh, well, I love it. Sorry. People can disagree.
Hog. It kind of feels like medieval and a little like blunt, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not very refined.
Okay, well, what's your refined dick boner name? What's your favorite? Chub?
No, it's phallus.
Oh, for the penis.
Yeah. Oh, isn't the hog a penis?
Yeah, but to me the hog... Oh, yeah, you're right. Hog could be erect or not. Erections are wild. They're truly so complicated. It's a freaking miracle we even get to have one in our life.
It's very cool biology. Yeah.
Thousands.
What's up? What's new? Do we got anything?
What's up?
What's up?
My dick when I see men. My dick when I see men. Not much. Let's get into it.
Oh, you want to just jump right in?
I mean, okay. I'm just like, it's like hard for me not to talk about boners.
No, there's got
to
be something else to mention.
I can't, but if someone brings up a boner, it's just like, you know, there's like my brain is just like, okay, it's like, what? I'm going to talk about like the trees outside.
Okay.
All go. Right.
Yeah.
Study time.
Study time. Study time. Study time.
So all right. Today, we're talking about boners.
The science of erections, what actually happens down there, regardless of your sex, because actually everyone gets erections. When you're aroused physically, what's going on, a little bit of the anatomy. We'll talk a little bit about like what you can do to make sure that you're having healthy erections.
How to give yourself a harder boner, folks.
As well as what goes awry when there is dysfunction down there and what happens with age and these kind of things. So
an erection is defined as the enlargement and stiffening of the penis.
I love how it felt like you were racing me there. You're like, so the erection is defined.
Well, I was like, this guy's going to keep going here. What's going on? So the stiffening and enlargement is important. It's really a fascinating little appendage. Mm-hmm. One interesting thing that scientists cannot agree on is, okay, obviously your penis is an external part of your body. Yeah. And so is your scrotum. Mm-hmm. But a lot of scientists argue that your testes aren't because they're contained in the scrotum. But other people say that your testes are because they're like kind of outside of the, you know, the pelvis.
Rest of the body.
Yeah. So do you consider your testes internal or external?
I mean, to me, they're external, but yeah, me too. They're a bit of both.
But it's like, it's like I know my penis is external because like that skin, you know, it's hitting the raw air if I'm naked, whereas my balls, there's a scrotum protecting them.
I guess, but that seems a little like pedantic. Like these? It feels like, okay, well, like the inside of your penis then is
not external.
Not external.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Like my, like, literally.
Like the cavernosa.
Yeah, exactly. My corpora cavernosa is internal, but my penis is not. But anyways, those are just the deep questions that scientists are asking at all times. So yeah, it's kind of like, obviously erections seem funny, but they're extremely important, obviously, to reproduction. Mm-hmm. Like with, you can obviously come without an erection. Sorry, that's not obvious, mm-hmm. but it helps when you have an erection. So it makes you realize the body, like getting an erection is so important because it's how you, you know, help create offspring.
Yeah, totally. And it can be used to just have fun as well.
Yeah, by yourself
or with others. Do we want to talk about, obviously, like it requires stimulus in some kind of way.
So at baseline, the penis is primarily under sympathetic control and is flaccid. So on average, 23 hours of the day, your dick is flaccid, which kind of, I was like, a whole hour of bone? That's like what the science was like. Three different studies said that.
Okay.
There's an hour. And on average, an hour a day, you have a boner?
Yeah, well, like when you're sleeping, it happens a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
And I bet the majority of it comes then.
From nocturnal boners?
Yeah. And then obviously there's some that's like, you know, just comes up during
but
the
like,
day.
But like sometimes it's like, yeah, I wonder if I'm just like working and like something happens and I get a boner and I'm not even counting it and thinking that I have a boner.
Probably, but like it's maybe different because we work at home. I feel like you'd be much more aware if you were like in a public setting.
True.
Or like I had to work like in an office or something.
Walk around with my hard hog working at home alone and there's no issues. Okay. So yeah, so the actual stimulation to get a boner, there's a lot of different ways that scientists talk about this, but it kind of comes down to two most specifically, which is that one is involved with this, your brain first. Mm-hmm. Some people say the largest sex organ in your body is your brain. It ain't your clit or your dick. So it's like you see something that arouses you. You smell something that arouses you. You could even just like close your eyes and just
imagine
like Chris Hemsworth or like Pamela Anderson for all you millennials out there running on a beach and get an erection. Or you can actually do it the other way around where like, they use the example of like your glans penis. Mm-hmm. Glans means acorn. So like the top, the tip of your dick.
Which, the lips, the teeth, the tip of the dick. You know that?
Yeah.
You know
that? What's that?
Oh, you don't know that? Okay, you're not a theater kid. That is a nice little warm up. It usually goes
the
lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue. But I thought I'd flip it on its head and say the lips, the teeth, the tip of the dick.
I truly thought that you in musical theater like, it's like,
okay, well, we all love dick.
That is the gay agenda. Exactly. It's like, if you go into musical theater and they're making you go your lips, the tit, the tick, but the dick.
Anyway, so you're trying to say that there is a
physical
sensation.
Yeah, you totally derailed that. There's the physical to start that then goes to your brain. So like, for example, you like rub your little acorn, your little glans penis or your penis against like the washing machine by mistake, and then all of a sudden it sends a signal through your nerves to your brain, and then all of a sudden, whoa, you're stimulated.
Yep.
But and they can be also broken down even further to other.
Yeah, something that's really fascinating about that sort of end of it. So say you have like physical touch, and that triggers something called the pudendal nerve, and that, you know, is connected to your spinal cord and sends signals to your brain to kind of like let you know what's going on down there. But what is interesting is that end of stimulation that doesn't start with your brain, even though your brain's notified, dick first or just genitals first, your brain isn't necessary in that sense. So you could still get an erection. Like people who have spinal cord injuries, their nerves may not be sending the signal to the brain, but they could have an erection. So it's interesting because you don't quote unquote need your brain necessarily to have an erection, although many arousals come from the brain first as well.
Yeah. So other ways to define the stimulation could be visual, which is like starting with the brain, mental starting with the brain. They define those as different. Visual being you see something with your eyes, mental being you shut your eyes and you dream of Pamela Anderson. physical, which is the touch. And then there's also, as we said, the nocturnal nighttime ones. Most of the time when you hit REM sleep, you'll have a boner. Mm-hmm. And actually now I'm like, I'm getting up. Why it adds up to an hour. My REM sleep boners.
Exactly.
And so
I'm so excited to talk about the health of maintaining your health and how you can keep your boner healthy. Because there's a study that came out this year that's kind of related to that. So
okay, I'm just gonna get to the erection then, so we can get to that. Because I really want to know about my boner health.
About it physically, right? That's what you want to talk about.
Yeah. Now? So if you like are to look at your penis, everyone unzip and look. Actually, I was looking at diagrams and then I did look at my penis, and I was like, damn, that is so weird. Because when you look at the diagram of a penis, okay, so they like cut always like the pelvic area of someone with a penis in half, and they always include the anus because, you know, right near the anus is that prostate. Mm-hmm. I love the word epididymis. So like your testes are hanging down below. There's the epididymis, which is above it. Then the vas deferens are the tube that like go to the prostate. Then it eventually goes, you know, the sperm or pee is just sort of delineated in the urethra at that mm-hmm. point and then out of the urethra there. But your dick is made up of like the two important tissues that will create the boner. Mm-hmm. So the corpus spongiosum,
which is a Harry Potter spell.
Yeah, you're like, corpus spongiosum, and then everyone's like, oh, I have such a hard on, it won't go away. It's the like spongy tissue near the urethra. Their urethra runs through it, and it's like what keeps your urethra open during boners,
like in order to get semen out.
Yeah, because it's like there's a lot of pressure building up.
Yeah, you don't
there.
Want it to close up because all those blood vessels are like expanding, which does happen to your veins. Like the blood expands in such a way as just close the veins, which traps blood in there, and that's why it like remains inflated.
Yeah, there's like veins at the top of your dick. You know how everyone's like the Mars bar. Looks like a dick with a vein.
Oh, is it the Mars bar? I didn't know everyone was saying that.
Every time I buy a Mars bar, it's a little bit of a visual stimulus and I get a boner.
Mine's more like, oh, Henry.
You mean you like turds?
I'm kidding.
That's disgusting. But oh, Henry's actually looks so much like a turd. It's like fascinating to me that they like were able to like, get on, like take off, because I do think they're delicious. Also, Tim Hortons. This is CanCon, Canadian content. Tim Hortons brought back the walnut crunch, which also looks like dog shit, but tastes amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're back. Side note. So on the top of your dick, there are actually a lot of veins that when you get the erection, they close. And so that, again, stops the blood from leaving and hopefully keeps your rock hard boner for hours, mm-hmm. folks. But the corpus spongiosum. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, sorry. The corpora cavernosa is the main ones. There are those two sort of like, depending on the size of your girth of your dick, on like if you were to cut it like a sausage in half.
Yeah, they're kind of like on the top sides.
Yes. And they're what fill up with the most blood. There's arteries in each one. There's two arteries. And so what happens is your spinal cord essentially sends out a signal down to your dick region. And it's all about nitric oxide release. And so nitric oxide in these erectile tissues, it's a vasodilator. So it causes blood to flow into the penis. And what's also, I think, kind of interesting is that nitric oxide causes smooth muscle cells to relax, which essentially, like, it's too complicated to explain here, but it keeps your calcium levels low in your dick. That relaxation, almost the flaccidity of the smooth muscle cells, is what causes the erection.
And, well, doesn't also the smooth muscle relaxing just make more space for the blood to fill?
Yes, but it's an interesting way because it's like the actual adjectives for like vasodilation. Mm-hmm. And in this case, smooth muscle cell relaxation causes boner.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people would assume smooth it's muscle like, cell relaxation would be flaccid and something else would be boner.
Yes.
I just kind of, I kind of loved that, like, scientific language is like, oh yeah, you need the relaxation of the smooth muscle cells to engorge and grow and fill with blood.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like a counterintuitive little like vibe.
I think that happens a lot because even I don't want to misquote it. This is in one of our videos, but I'm pretty sure it's norepinephrine. When you're sleeping, and part of the reason you get like morning wood or nighttime erections, there's actually like an active mechanism of norepinephrine that's like stopping blood flow from entering.
Oh, but interesting.
In REM sleep, that turns off, which like then allows blood flow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, of course, it is an active process, but it's interesting in the same way that it's actually the inverse of what you think.
Yeah.
By turning something off, like your body's actively stopping a boner at all times in one perspective. And then when that turns off at these certain moments, then it like the floodgates open basically.
Yeah. And I do definitely like feel like I am getting older, and I can't wait to talk about your like giant boner research. But I just like do remember like so much like as like a teenager, just like truly like walking like a gust of wind hitting my crotch and just getting an absolute heart like it was just like it was like it was actually a problem, or like being in math class and then like rubbing my dick weirdly against the desk and then be like, well, I'm hard for like minutes on end and like hopefully the class doesn't end, whereas now I don't have that issues. I've never like I'm so hard I can't go like it's just like damn, like,
no, you're right, like it is kind of crazy to think back on, because as you become an adult, it's like even if it accidentally starts happening, you can kind of stop it pretty quick. I'm not saying there aren't moments when you're just like, this
is
inconvenient.
No. Yeah.
But as a kid, sometimes you're literally like, I don't want this, and it's going to be
like,
here
I'm
for five
stuck
full
with a boner.
Minutes.
I'm like, I haven't had that
maybe
since 22
and you're
years
hiding
old.
Under a desk.
Like, and if I need to get rid of a boner, it's easy now.
I remember talking about it with friends in like grade school, and someone was like, I just realized I went to the front of class and our teacher can literally see on, like, you know, when you have a desk in front of you, it just feels like you're concealed. But when you're like far enough away, like you can see people's
legs. Oh my God. There's no, but when someone's
like, they know when we have boners.
That's insane. Okay. It's like, how big was that guy's hog? Cause like,
no,
if you have a
you
boner sitting
down,
it's not like a cartoon image of like the Simpsons image of a boner where it's like, you know what I mean? Like a boner when you're sitting down
that.
Is. No, I'm just like laughing at this guy thinking that there's just like boners all over.
That's
the world.
That's what everyone thinks when they're young. You get freaked out. Not that he thinks there's a million boners. He's just like, oh, when I have an erection uncontrollably, someone can possibly see it.
I
just always imagined
just
that it was
can.
Like hidden. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I just.
Moving on.
No, well, I'm just like, it was kind of a creepy image. Think of a teacher.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't really want to.
I was trying to.
You're
like,
right. You're right. I am sorry.
Like
I didn't mean. I was thinking of myself as in that age bracket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reliving
no.
that like fear of being caught, you know?
But, it's a, now I kind of miss the fear.
Yeah.
And most ED is now understood to be physical, not like psychosomatic. Like in the past, a lot of people were like, it's all
that can still be part of it. I can go through, there's like six main causes.
Yeah. Yeah.
ED.
Oh, do that.
Well, first I wanted to mention, now that we've talked about the erection of the penis, female erections are also a thing. And
oh yeah.
So like the clitoris and the penis are homologous.
Homologous. Yeah.
Structures, which
means, homo.
Yeah. Means that, you know, they're, kind of like the same, and the female erection works in a similar way as though their clitoris is like in this place of the penis, and so like that blood flow comes to there. Obviously it's not getting as big as like an erection on a male, but there's like blood flow that enters there, and they are functional. Like studies have found that when females are turned on, the chance of like procreation is higher.
Oh, wow.
Which is really interesting.
So boners rub boners is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and stimulation of that for females is like this really sensitive area, even though there's only like a small part that is actually outside the body that you would be like the tip of the clitoris.
And the tip of the dick is also super sensitive. Like, you know, people always say that. Like,
exactly.
It actually is. There's
and they
so
don't mean
nerves.
Like the literal tip, but just like the end of it, right?
Yeah, no, the tip. It's called the glans
tip.
Penis. Oh. The acorn. Glans means acorn.
Okay. But I also was going to say like the pudendal nerve and stuff like that. Like that function is similar for females. There can be a mental stimulation or a physical stimulation. It can go to the spinal cord and send messages to the brain. It's also not entirely necessary. There can just be physical stimulation, which can lead to blood engorgement and that kind of thing. Nitric oxide is also vasodilating. So this happens in
everyone.
Basically.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, now go into ED.
Oh, yeah. So we were going to talk about, we won't linger too long on ED, but I just thought it was interesting because obviously this is a concern for me.
Because we're also getting into our 30s.
Yeah, and it is more common as you age, but I think that's also the I want to say confluence, but I don't know what that word means.
What does confluence mean?
I meant to say like the convergence of many factors is actually what I was trying to say.
I don't know. Confluence sounds like it could mean that.
Can I type it in and we're going to like, eyes are going to learn with us.
I'm also running to get my coffee, so be right back.
Okay. How far is it?
It's so far away. You can still hear me. Don't have a boner. Don't worry.
Definitely. Oh my God. I'm having so much trouble.
Confluence.
Confluence. The junction of two rivers, especially rivers of approximately equal width. An act or process of merging. I guess that could work.
And know what?
To me, it was like this idea of converging multiple risk factors. As you age, there's more and more risk factors.
Yeah, yours is metaphorical. And know what else confluence is? Your goddamn vessels in that corpus cavernosa to give yourself a boner. Okay, continue.
Okay. So, like you said... psychogenetic, which means stemming from the brain, is a possible cause, but many like it's not necessarily like politically appropriate, not politically, but what do you say, like appropriate to say to someone like it's just all in your head if you're having like ED. I think in the past
they did used to said, think
like
that.
You are having problems with your brain, you're just anxious, you're just nervous. Of course, being nervous, being anxious, like having an issue and having it in your head is going to impact your body's ability to be aroused in the first place and to quote unquote perform. But that's only like one factor out of six.
And it was sort of like pre-1940s, 1950s. They only thought it was mental. And then science kicked
started
in and
realizing,
was like,
okay,
there's a lot of factors.
There's another one called neurogenic. So that means you could literally have spinal cord issues. You could have like communication problems between your nerves. There could be something physically stopping you from getting erections.
Yeah. Okay.
Then there's hormonal. So for men, like testosterone does play a role in arousal, but there's also like you could have abnormal hormonal levels outside of that. That can just impact your arousal levels. Vasculogenic. This apparently is the most common.
Yeah, so. This is what I was... Yeah. Thinking of.
So it's like just blood flow issues, all relating to that mechanism of getting blood in there. Could be linked to like high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes. Those often link into vasculogenic. Is that how you say it? Vasculogenic. And then the final two are drug induced. So you often hear like if people are on antidepressants, it's a lot harder to get aroused. You may not feel the same way.
Huh.
Excessive alcohol, smoking, and other drugs.
Whiskey dick.
Yeah, can interfere. Yeah, it's very common for people to be drunk and have a hard time being like physically aroused.
And I think that one to me gives like Tinder date vibes. It's like I can see people who are single and using alcohol as like a social lubricant.
Like a nerve depressant.
Yeah.
But then
I can imagine being
other
like,
parts
damn
of your...
it. Like now it's harder to get hard physically. I can see that one being frustrating and maybe the beginning sort of like stages of okay. Like,
yeah. Well, there's probably both ends because if you're too nervous, you might not be able to get aroused. So you drink to like get rid of those nerves. But if you go too far in the other direction, now you've actually entered into like a physical or drug induced issue.
And oh, yeah, that's interesting.
The final one was aging and other diseases, but a lot of this can be caused by a mix of all the other things, right? Like the older you are, the more likely you might have a condition, a disease. You might be on drugs. You might have hormonal levels that are out of balance. Like there could be many different factors as you age. It's not to say it's necessarily everyone's going to suffer like ED as they age, but it's more common.
And I think that also... I was actually too nervous to do the studies about ET.
There
were surveys in two of the studies because they were kind of being like, once you're in your 30s, like ED, like everything we talk about on this podcast, alcoholism, mental health, it's a sliding scale. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, do this survey to find out what scale, like essentially I can
know, on the spectrum.
I just like know that it's going to be like, you're this much on the spectrum. I'm like, I'm just not ready to hear that I'm on the spectrum for ED, but like probably their whole argument is that erectile dysfunction has been very misleadingly explained, especially in pop culture. It's kind of like you can't get hard.
Yeah.
There's just like this man walking around. You're like, can't get hard anymore. Needs Viagra. It's like, no, it's again, a sliding scale. There will be times and places and reasons that could be physiological, mental, all these things coming together, and that a lot of people will suffer from it and also not suffer from it, like throughout the year, throughout their lives, like.
And it could be related to not just not getting hard, but how long can you last? How hard does it get? How good does it feel? Like lots of different variables that, it's not just the full inability to get an erection. It can be like conditional. So under certain circumstances, you're having issues. With certain people, it comes up more than with other people. So like, I think, like everything in science through the years, we realize like spectrums are a much better way to measure. It's not an on or off switch. And it's better that people for their own like mental health and sanity, because I think a lot of people do struggle with erectile dysfunction and it's embarrassing to bring up and they don't know when it's like right time to bring it up. Knowing there's a spectrum lets you kind of go, oh, maybe I'm catching early signs. I can talk to my doctor and see if it's something. Could it be related to my health? Like, do I just need to like exercise more, or do I have blood pressure problems?
A lot of dudes will get on that hormone test.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the one that people, a lot of guys are like, well, it's my testosterone.
It's my testosterone.
Which for some people it is, but a lot of times nowadays we're realizing that's being like very, like given out very easily to say like, oh, you probably have low testosterone. And then a lot of men actually don't have low testosterone.
So go watch and listen to our podcast about testosterone replacement therapy, because we explain all that information there and it's super juicy and interesting. Mm-hmm. But I am like, okay, like, do you think that maybe ED is like scarier for straight men with penises? Because I was thinking about like when you're gay, you get to have all different types of sex. You get to be, you could be passive. You could
I
be
see. Okay.
Passivo, activo, top. But like there's something about that. I'm like,
oh, my bilingual boyfriend.
But no, there's something about like me kind of just thinking like, when I go into a sexual situation, there are a lot more options for me, mm-hmm. where I can imagine the pressure of like the rock hard boner of the man with like, just like, I'm like, oh, that there's more pressure there.
I think it's,
did our dog just barf?
Is he okay?
Okay. He just barfed because we were talking about, no, he's fine. He's okay, fine. He just made a weird noise. Speaking of boners, he hasn't had one in years, but looks like a lipstick. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of,
I think it, I don't know if I can qualify which is worse. I think there's different pressure, different pressures in different communities. No, I know what you mean. Like, on the one hand, I think you're probably not wrong to, as like a man in a heterosexual relationship, the pressure might be on you and it might be harder to break that stigma if you are having issues to like use toys and like get into different spaces where like your erection isn't the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
And maybe in queer spaces that is more acceptable. Like that's not what I want to be pleasured, or I want to give someone something rather than get something. All these kind of things are more open in the queer community. But I think as a gay man, there's still a lot of pressure to like be able to be aroused and use your penis.
And lots of Viagra in these gay parties.
But yeah, I think all men struggle with.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Okay. I just thought like, you know what I mean? It feels like there's less options.
Yeah. You could take on a different role. I agree. But like, it could still be really challenging if you're a cis man who identifies as a top and then is struggling with ED.
A cis gay man.
A cis gay man, sorry. Yeah, I just mean like if you're struggling with ED, but you yourself aren't wanting to be a bottom, then you'll still be struggling.
Oh yeah, I forgot, you know? I was a first king and I forgot that that's not just what everyone is. Yeah, okay, true. Yeah, it's just like there was something in some of these studies I was reading, the survey-based one, about women being like actually kind of relieved that their sexual like prowess isn't physiologically shown. I was like, that's an interesting part about being a man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of male privilege. And I kind of was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like there's something there that is like actually kind of spooky. And like erections are, as we're getting older, like it's an interesting part of aging and probably like existential thoughts,
because accepting your body in a different way.
Yeah. And it's so like culturally like boners are good. And I'm going to get into my research about the penuma, which is a literal addition to your penis through surgery to make it bigger.
Oh, like it's to grow, like to make your penis bigger.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we do that? And now, then I'll talk about the alternate, which is like how to keep your boner healthy.
Without horrible surgery.
Okay. Let's talk about surgery. So obviously we're talking about like size increasing.
Penile
size.
Girth augmentation, which is like probably could have been its own episode, honestly. Yeah. But I just read this insane New York article about it, and I bring it up all the time because it's just so disturbing. But my biggest takeaway is that the people who are getting this surgery where, yes, they cut open your dick, almost flip it inside out and add this like spongy mesh like thing that in theory should grow and shrink with your boner. Uh-huh. So it's like this newer thing. It's by this scary guy, the Thomas Edison of penis surgery.
Why is he scary?
Because it's called the penuma. It's invented by James Ellis. He's a urologist who's decided to make his career off of this surgery that is like extremely problematic because a lot of people have had issues. Of course, like anything, some people are super happy with their new girthy dick. Other people have serious issues. Mm. Pain, can't even pee, have to get it taken out. Like all these risks are really high. Uh-huh. And so it's like, and there's all these loopholes they've used through the FDA to have it be approved. Even though, like, if you read the article, you'd be like, this does not feel like a safe procedure.
Okay.
And he is just like a creepy vibe. But there was a GQ article that kind of, I think, really messed with a lot of people because it wasn't that critical of this thing. And a lot of people signed up. But my biggest takeaway was that it increased during COVID. And through a lot of psychological studies, I think porn has a big influence because most people who are getting the surgery have average to above average penis sizes to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw something that, like, the average penis size is erect, I think, is closer to 5 inches, like maybe 5.5 or something like that. But most men think it's much bigger.
Yeah, because you're looking at porn, you're observing. Yeah, we're on the internet now where, like, if people have a big dick, they're like, they literally have it out through their shorts and are pumping gas and they're a TikToker.
It's like a selection bias. Even if just having a nice body makes you more likely to become like a fitness influencer. So you're then seeing this bias of all these people having these amazing bodies online. Of course, people gravitate towards that because it's impressive. So there's a selection bias of what you're even looking at because, of course, it's like people are looking at a big dick or big boobs or big ass and then like seeing that as attractive and seeing it more and more often in porn, and then it skews your perception.
I've always wondered, like, if I had like an abnormally huge dick, like would I have to, like, in grade 12 be like, do I go to university or do I become a porn star? Like, sometimes I'm like, that is like a weird part of it, having a huge dick. You're probably like, well, I could make a career out of this hog. Yeah. Or I could just keep it in my pants and show it to a few people and become an engineer. Like, there does feel like I do not have a porn star dick, but I was always like, if I was so blessed, or some might say cursed, would I have actually been like named like Liam the Lasso Linklater porn star or whatever. Anyways, this is a really popular
surgery.
The name of this fake penis is called the Penuma, and just like, I think that the main takeaway again is that our concept of penis size is completely skewed because of the internet, and that this is preying on people's insecurities and is not essential for any reason or any way, and it's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it's not worth it. And it's sad because I think that, like, obviously people's erection size and the way they feel about their erections for the most part is probably pretty low, because it's hard to have that next week's episode, high self-esteem around it when you're watching all this really biased and not accurate versions of dicks online.
It's funny when, like, so, I don't want to oversimplify things, but so much of problems with men can come with, like, insecurities of, like, their, like, literal dick size.
Wait, you know? What?
Or just mean, like, these things distill down to, like, so we have all these studies that say, like, this is the average dick size, and so many men who have it bigger are still insecure about their dick size.
Yeah.
And it's like this ultimate insecurity that you're not enough. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's the core belief that literally if only I had
my dick was a few millimeter
centimeters more, I would be happy. I would be, like, worthwhile. And it's, like, funny, not funny, but, like, that it comes down. Like, everyone faces that pressure in many different ways, but, like, these basic simplified insecurities that come back to being like the child in you, and like you can see that expressed through like so much toxic masculinity, but like in like both straight and gay men and queer people all have these issues around. It's just like funny that dick size is such a thing.
Yeah, because it does seem so basic.
Yeah, even it's like especially when it's like completely functional, you know, and like even lots of women, lots of men would be like, the size doesn't matter that much to me. Like, in fact, like having a giant dick is actually like, yeah, you want to fit that in your mouth, you want to fit that in your ass, you want to fit that in your vagina. Like, it's actually painful.
Yeah.
So, of course,
or it could be like, I don't even know. I'm like, are we going to get canceled? But like, it could just be like an ugly big dick. You're the one who taught me that dicks can be ugly and not ugly. No, sorry. Not because either of ours are or aren't. But you're more like, you've talked about it to me more in a way where I've ever since been like, oh yeah, I kind of,
I'd way rather have a nice dick than a big dick.
But I think I was just such a horny little kid that I didn't even know there was such thing as like an unnice dick or an unnice tit. Like, I just liked all tits.
Because I'm prissy. Like, I'm much more like, ew, Like, it has
no,
to be
I
like,
know. And then I started like being well like, taken oh, care of. I guess I could judge it not just on, like, it's like, oh, no, they all have their own vibe. And I even think about, like, these sort of cultural connotation of, like, big dick energy probably also made a lot of guys insecure. Like, it's kind of being, like, it's actually, like, super maybe problematic in the sense that it's, like, oh, that person has confidence, has a...
But it's, I think what it... Sorry.
Has confidence, has this vibe that must be coming from the fact that he's internally so confident because his dick's so big. Like, it's like as if you have a big dick, then you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, that is
I feel like I understand the genesis behind that is actually to flip it on people who are hyperly toxic and to say, if you're a shitty man, it's probably because you have a small dick. Like, not that we should actually be using dick size, but I think it's to...
No, but that's so kind of messed up.
No, it is. But I think it's to have toxic men have to stop and think about why they're doing what they're doing. Is like maybe why it became this thing.
Yeah, it's true. Like when like a motorcycle like revs by me, I'm like, small dick.
Or
like,
it's like a compensatory action to be like, look, you're trying to overcompensate for something. And it's an easy way to put it in a zinger is like when it comes to dick size versus saying you probably have some trauma around not feeling accepted and that you need to flash your wealth, your success, your these things at other people because you don't feel worthy. So it's all been distilled into like, you probably have a small dick.
Wow. Wow, yeah.
But it's not at all necessarily true. Like, there's lots of people with big dicks who are probably freaking assholes and not friendly and kind of annoying and brag and all these things. But there's something about a confident, kind man who you're like, he's not insecure, is what it's saying. Like, he's not overcompensating for something.
I can't, like, I mean, we just have to talk. I can't get over Drake's dick after Drake's dick. Because it's also like, speaking of erections, like, what's going on there? It was flopping around, like, I don't even know. Like, an inorganic, like, it's not, what was it looking like? Everyone has to use like weird...
I don't care, to be honest.
How can you not care?
Well, because I think if it was a woman, we would be feeling weird about that. Everyone and every blog and every newspaper writing about
it. Whoa, all of a sudden he's what, like, not a feminist or a feminist backwards? It's Drake. We are definitely allowed to talk about his dick. No offense,
and
Drake,
I guess like the people think that maybe
he is a man. It, like, and he's a man. Like, it's like we're like thinking about the concept of like comedy and punching up. Like, if there's one person's dick we can talk about, it's Drake. He's
and it was big. It's not like people are making fun of it.
No,
it
and he's like, so like he's so exorbitant and over the top and like so easy to make fun of because he's like the richest, most powerful.
Right.
Like, kind of womanizing, kind of like, like at this point, sorry, Toronto, like, annoying. Like, I feel like I'm in, it's in his, you can talk about his era. It'd be different if he was like a different celebrity, I think. And it's insanely huge. And it's like, it's not erect. It's like flopping around. Like, it's such an odd video.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of like his corpus cavernosa isn't even full.
Oh, great.
That means it's getting bigger.
That's true. You just care more about pop culture than I do. I'm just like,
because he didn't have big dick energy. And then bam, whoa. Yeah. At least to me, he did. And it seemed like
maybe he got that surgery.
Oh my God, the Pena.
Maybe he's one of the Panuma.
He has Panuma energy, though. That Miami face, that face has been Botox. And we all know that the rumor has it he has a BBL.
We all know that.
Well, Megan Thee Stallion's song Hiss, she alludes to it. And I think it's like such a good diss.
Can we move on to how to have a healthy erection?
Yes.
Are you done with
talking about Drake's dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I have about 10 more minutes on it, but we can move on to that.
So my study was on, well, it was actually looking at erections in mice, which for whatever reason is so funny to me.
Oh my
God. Apparently the basic mechanisms between like a human erection and a mice erection are very similar.
Classic.
In most mammals, actually, like the kinds of like stuff we've already explained, talking about the chambers move, like going the way it goes to
the chamber of secrets,
the chamber of secrets enlarging, and the way that the nerves communicate and the hormones and stuff like that are all really similar. So inside of a penis, you have fibroblasts, which is like connective tissue. And previously, these were not, there's not a lot of research on them. Like, why are there so many in the penis? What is their role?
Great name.
But they believe they have an important role in like mediating the function of an erection. So it's the most abundant cell type in a mouse penis, but I think in a human penis as well. But this study is on mice. Don't forget that. And now they've realized they regulate blood flow in this study. So the study showed that fibroblasts mediate erection by taking up the neurotransmitter noradrenaline, which leads to the widening of blood vessels in the penis.
Okay.
So, like, how effective your penis is at enlarging depends on your fibroblasts.
Okay.
So, then research were... Okay, I'm trying to remember, like, what the ultimate point of this study was.
You're like, but, eat bananas.
No, it kind of came down to... How do you keep your fibroblasts like healthy and active? Yeah. It's like exercise. Like,
okay.
They realize the more you have boners, the healthier your dick will be because you're stimulating those cells.
Really? That I was promote so blood flow. Wanted to talk about it at the end, being like, is there something like about having too many boners and jerking off all the time that then you're like getting all these like messed up veins, which is completely made up in my head.
Not at all.
But no, there you're exercising could be your dick.
There could be other things related to the mental side, right? Like if you're having issues because true. You can only get turned on in certain conditions.
From porn or
maybe
something.
Porn, maybe you have a fetish or whatever. Maybe there's ways that it's difficult for you to get turned on. That could be something by doing it too much. But they realize the fibroblasts function better when they're used more frequently.
So this is exercising, aka exercising your boner, or exercising, aka lifting weights and running around in circles on a track.
They like the researchers compared it to like if you run, your body gets better at using oxygen. Your muscles get better at like adapting to that environment. So
get the boners more.
Get boner. The more it's like use it or lose it. Like you're literally stimulating these fibroblasts, and they're keeping up their activity of being stimulated.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Get as many boners as possible to keep the fibroblasts blasting.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is a lot of mammals, including chimps and gorillas, have a bone in their penis.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But humans don't. And so they're like, this is probably even more important for humans because it relies so much on the blood flow more than like a physical bone.
Interesting. But then the psychoactive part is like, if you're always looking at porn, then
there's other elements.
That's a serious issue too.
And older mice, for example, they realize have less fibroblasts, so there's less blood flow. Yeah. That may be just like an aging thing, but they said it could be possible to train the ability to get an erection to counteract impotence in the same way as you can train your strength or fitness at the gym.
Somewhere like some white guy with dreads in Mexico is like leading like a boner class. Like it's starting, or it's gonna be LA. Like it's gonna start in LA, and everyone's gonna go and try and get boners and get their boners.
Think about like our bodies have these erections at night, right? Like obviously like it's promoting blood flow.
Andrew Huberman's going to be on this. It's going to be the next ice bath. There's going to be like communal. Like every straight guy's going to get together with like 28 other straight guys and pay $60 to like literally get boners.
It's called erectricize.
Damn. Take that to the bank. Honestly, I'm not kidding. We are in such an era of masculinity online is so fascinating that every guy is just trying to optimize truly just like their dick size, whether that's through like steroids or all these different things that like you could make money on that. And they're so unable to see how homoerotic everything they do is that if the 28 people sat on a mat and got boners together, like 28 straight guys, they still would be like, it's not gay.
Yeah, they're like, we're doing it for the girls.
Yeah, so that our boners get better so we go home with our leg for our ladies.
Anyway, I think, you know, that's a good to know.
That is really good to know. Because I actually I had no research on it. I was kind of trying to be like, is it like possible? Bad to have so many boners?
So I think right now, at least the answer is no. But again, there's other impacting factors. If you're always watching porn when you jerk off, like maybe that is
which I do think a lot of people probably are doing. Mm-hmm. And then if they're getting into a sexual situation and feeling like things aren't working, it's like that could be because you're not like in this hyper-sexualized porn state that you're in full control of.
Yeah, they're so used to. But it's important to remember it's not, as far as we know right now, it's not just because you've got a boner a bunch that you might struggle with it later.
Yeah,
it's true. Like, in fact, we have the opposite evidence right now, is that the use of it is good. But obviously, brain gets involved. Brain has a lot of issues, so.
Yeah, the largest sex organ in your body is your brain.
I think that's all I have on erections. Like we can get into our what'd you learn this week and stuff, but
that was fascinating.
We'll take a little break and then we'll come back. Yeah.
Boing, 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 boing.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
All right, moving on from boners. We've got
new
science of burnout coming in. Don't we all experience it? Probably. Constant dread.
No,
constant
I don't exhaustion. Know. Burnout to me is such a like weird buzzword that I'm like, what is that?
But we're going to talk about it. So, interestingly, a new tool has been developed to literally measure burnout. Not a physical tool, but like a,
like a
psychological
a screwdriver.
Tool. It was developed in Norway.
No, duh.
So obviously right now they believe this tool will be useful outside of that, but they've tested it primarily on a Norwegian audience. So take with that limitations that you will.
If there's one thing we've been taught about Norway, it's that no one has burnout, that they're all just like have these perfect, well-balanced lives and like work 4 days a week and like just like push their kids in carriages and have like gorgeous sneakers and everyone's fine. But
so
anyways, continue.
Just to chat briefly, like the signs of burnout like that are actually categorized are you feel mentally exhausted at work, you struggle to
wait
feel
so this is burnout in regards to work,
but burnout can be mixed with life stress, obviously.
Okay.
Right, like to come home and also have lots of stuff you
but
have
it's
to
better
do.
To think about work kind
I think
of.
Most people okay. put it in the context of your job burnout
okay,
and if
continue.
Your job is overworking you or if you feel just like pushed to
yeah,
the limit
yeah.
So you feel mentally exhausted at work,
okay,
you struggle to feel enthusiastic about your job,
okay,
you have trouble concentrating when working,
okay,
you sometimes overreact at work without meaning to.
Whoa.
And so, okay. I don't have a lot to say about this other than, do you
doesn't
feel
it just seem like everyone would say that they
yeah.
feel that?
Well, a lot of people do feel that. I think a lot of people are like, this is the state of modern capitalism where it pushes people to the brink and asks so much of them and they don't mm-hmm. get a lot back from it.
Yeah.
That could be a modern perspective.
Okay.
So they created something called the business assessment tool, a burnout assessment tool. You can actually search that term and you can go on a website and take like the quiz. Basically you fill out just like a variety of things from 1 to 10, how you fit on this scale, and it'll help you assess if you have burnout. And so the reason they created this with their own tool, they found that about 13% of Norwegians are at a high risk of burnout, which actually seemed low to me.
Well yeah, because it's Norway. That's like what I was saying earlier.
Oh, like maybe,
like in
maybe
like
other countries
America
have
at 100%.
Possibly. And so obviously this is useful because there's physical and psychological effects of burnout. It can impact cardiovascular disease, pain related issues, musculoskeletal issues, sleep problems, and depression. Like it's linked to all these other diseases and issues. And so if you're an organization, obviously like you don't want to lose talented employees. If you're burning them out and causing them health problems, like they're not going to want to work there.
Yeah.
So that's like, or it might increase their sickness and absence and lost productivity, all these things. So sadly, that's from the perspective of like the capitalist who wants to like take as much out of you as they can. But it's in their best interest to not have you burn out. And so they're just, this was trying to create a literal framework to measure if people are actually having burnout. Like, can we actually classify it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it seems so arbitrary. And I think the reason I'm so like whatever about burnout is I learned about it from like every millennial YouTuber in like 2016 being like, huh? Like a video called like, I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
And everyone being like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, wow, you had to make a vlog about like your day that you had like an oatmeal and then you had to like take a meeting and then like it's like...
I don't shit on YouTubers for that because I think I understand where they're coming from.
No, me too. But I still shit on them because I think everyone else, like kind of like when you were describing the symptoms of burnout, I was like, that is how I feel about my job. And like, I definitely like really want a kid and like want some time off work, but I'm not complaining because I have so much more control. But it doesn't mean I'm not feeling exhausted when I do my work. And like, I kind of related. Like, I just can imagine what that would feel like with even less control, which is why I rolled my eyes at YouTubers. Because it's like,
they have so much autonomy.
And it's like, your ideal version of your job is so privileged that the thing you're complaining about is that didn't seem like it had much. It's like kind of the same way with every sort of like famous person in cancellation. I'm like, I don't think anyone deserves to be a famous person with that much power
and complain.
And complain. Yeah.
That's fair. It's I think it's just important to remember, and I'm not trying to empathize with like these.
No, I'm being like a piece of shit.
Like,
but
definitely so much research and like listening to the Happiness Lab, they often talk about like, it is all perspective, right? Like everyone suffers always. Yeah. Like that is the burden of life. It's just your frame reference of it, right? Yeah. Like more money, more problems is in some ways true. Like, of course money can bring a lot of stability and there's like limits. But then some people have so much that it actually just gives them more stress. And
yeah.
I'm not trying to like, I'm not trying to show for like rich
people.
It's
an interesting conversation. It's like, do I want to hear about that though from a YouTuber? Yeah. Like, maybe,
and then we
maybe
also
not.
Know there's like comorbidities with like having low income and poverty is like the burnout and the pain is way worse on that end of things. That it is frustrating. It's like, it's not to invalidate the pain of a YouTuber, but it, you're right. It is like, why are you getting a voice to complain about this?
Yeah. And
when
like,
you have, you can step away and you have so much money.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's like, go become a nurse, relax. Anyways, but that's me just being super judgy. And it's a reason why we have no YouTube friends. Because whenever they talk to me about their issues, I'm like, yeah, get out of my face. I'm kidding. I've never done that. I'm very compassionate to YouTubers in person, I swear. So mine's just about green cities. Well, there were two new books that came out and they were reviewed. I was reading them about kind of how cities need to advance into the future. And it was just like interesting to me because I guess that is something that I just baseline hope for all cities is to become more green. But they were just talking about how like you can't just say that. Like there's actual implications and planning that needs to be involved. Mm. But they were saying how cities consume 75% of global primary energy, release 70% of all greenhouse gas emissions, and produce 10 billion tons of solid waste annually. Hmm. So it's like, okay, people are living in cities. Yeah. Like that's always been the case, but now more than ever. Right. And like sometimes there's more and more stats about that. People are like moving to cities for a variety of reasons. Okay. And then this was one thing I just took away that I thought was so interesting, which was that every city could benefit from flipping the way the public transit works just because of how socioeconomic studies have revealed who uses and how public transit is used. It should be cheaper for people coming from further into a city because they're always the people who are more poor and more at risk.
Yeah.
And that the people within the city are always the more affluent ones who are actually paying less for public transit because it's always based on distance.
Yeah.
And they were like just one overarching thing. And I was like, that is so progressive and interesting, and I can see how some annoying people will be like, but they didn't go as far. But it's like, no, we're not talking about distance. Everything's based on public transit being used and distance. If I go further, it costs more. But it's like, that is, I don't know, it like struck me.
Yeah, it's
it was like, that's
I don't know
so
how you'd implement
interesting.
That, but
you would be like, socioeconomically, there is a map of our city, and we know these people who are coming into the city from far.
Oh, that's what, when I was in Medellin, they were like, we do this, not with transit necessarily, but like they map out the incomes of different areas, and that impacts how much they will pay for certain things.
So smart.
Different regions. It's not like the subway, I think, is harder, like, but yeah, when it comes to like their home taxes, and when it comes to like a lot of those things, it's. And I know that does obviously like kind of play a role where we live, like your tax bracket will be lower if you're making less income, but it was like much more implemented in a way that was like, I don't know.
It was about schooling too. You pay less for school
based on where your home is.
Which is just one of those things if people can all just buy into and like rich people can stop complaining about paying more tax for God's sake, then it's like, then you can just accept all these things. Like is an acceptance that requires rich people to accept that they're rich.
Yeah.
And same with this. It would be the same type of acceptance. It would be rich people being like, I am the one living in the city. And it does make sense that someone who's coming from further to like for example, construction. We were talking the other day about all these construction workers and how they work super early and they leave by 3 because to avoid the traffic, because a lot of them live so far out of Toronto. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. It's like those people with better, cheaper public transit could maybe take the public transit in and out for less. Makes sense to me because they're building the goddamn buildings that all these people are going to live in.
Yeah.
And then they're...
What makes that a green city though?
Well, they were talking about how one book was focusing so much on how like literally like adding more green space is all that matters. And this other book was like, no, green space always needs to be in tandem with the like poverty of cities and development. Yeah, like and like they kind of, the review was that the one book that focused just on green space was bad. And this other book had a holistic approach. Okay. And it was just from that holistic approach that they brought up that one thing that I thought was so interesting.
Yeah. No, that is interesting to think of. Green cities doesn't just have to only mean literally getting more plants somewhere. It's
yeah.
Like how, it's like, how do you develop a city?
And it was, the green was public transit. Like someone might from far away might actually be like, I'd rather drive because it's cheaper because I'm paying so much for these like expensive trains from so far when really it's like actually the train should be cheaper.
Yep. Yeah, you want to incentivize people to actually use transit.
Yeah. And then there's the classic children living in surroundings with more green space tend to have lower anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I saw
and
that too.
Vienna, more than 60% of the residents in Vienna live in subsidized housing compared to 5% in New York City, with half of the units are in Vienna owned by the Austrian government and the other half by nonprofit cooperatives. And they're just like, what the heck? I want to like go study Vienna.
How? Yeah, that's interesting. I would like to know, learn more about that. Yeah. I saw a really interesting Vox video the other day talking about like a lot of like modern day condos and stuff people complain about. They call them like gentrified looking buildings and they're like a very specific aesthetic. But then they were arguing like actually these buildings are usually the cheapest, most affordable and greenest ways to make these buildings and often linked to affordable housing. And so we look at them and we see, and there's studies that show actually building more of these kinds of apartment buildings that you might think are ugly in spaces is, it helps not displace people out of those neighborhoods.
Oh, interesting.
You can look at
that's very Toronto. Yeah. It's true. Sometimes I look at these like glass Torontos. I'm like, well, there's thousands of people in that. That's
and it's not just glass. You can kind of, they're like modular. You can see like the squares and like they just look like, oh, it looks like cookie cutter. But what I thought was so interesting, they said they found newspaper articles from like the 20s when like the brownstones in New York were being built.
You know,
like and it's all the same words. It's like, these are cheap. They're ugly. Like they're just all look the same. Wow. It was all the same words that are being used now.
And now it's just like Julianne Moore being like, welcome to my breathtaking brownstone.
Exactly.
Like in the future, there's going to be like the Julianne Moore of the time. Like, welcome to my one bedroom glass condo in Toronto. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay.
Cool. So next week, we're going to be talking about self-esteem.
It's we put it off because we thought it was so similar. Not so similar to envy, but kind of like in the same vein of emotion.
And honestly, we got our mind on boners, went cross-eyed, and couldn't stop thinking about them. Okay, thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.